Radio. Terms, conditions, and quality standards apply.
Would you trade a national championship for 10 years of your program being completely irrelevant on the national scene? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show.
Effective immediately, Coach Pitino has been placed on an unpaid administrative leave. Coach Pitino's employment will be reviewed at a later date. We will continue throughout this process to follow university personnel policies.
He gone. Welcome in. It is the Todd Bromelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn, Kyle Mann, our producer on the other side of the glass, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. A little chilly September 27th, and boy, a midweek that continues to be filled with headlines in the sports world. And Rick Pitino didn't last very long at Louisville. Now, reportedly, technically the term is administrative leave, but all indications are that he is going to be looking for a new job sometime soon, and he'll find one, most likely in the NBA. I don't think he's going to be able to come back to the college ranks ever again following his latest, I don't even know, transgression is the right word there, but you fly too close to the sun once, you think you'd learn your lesson. And Rick Pitino continued to book first-class seats on that particular airline. And some people would say he's getting his just desserts today. Plenty more to talk about today as well. The Cubs did not lock up the National League Central last night, so their magic number remains at one. The Minnesota Twins moved one game closer to clinching an American League wildcard spot. Their magic number one, also a win tonight or a loss by the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, will put the Twins in the postseason. You can hear them tonight right here on KGYM. The Twins continuing their series. Plenty more baseball talk to get to. A big football game in Ames tomorrow night. Iowa State hosting Texas. And speaking of football, we'll catch up later on today. As a matter of fact, bottom of the hour, with Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. Panthers have Southern Illinois on the schedule this weekend. Southern Illinois, fresh off a loss to the University of Memphis.
What was the final, pretty good.
What was the final score in that game?
44-31.
44-30. So they put up 31 against Memphis. It's one of UNI Southern Illinois is one of the games I'm going to have to pick for the Cedar Rapids Gazette on Saturday morning. And I'm trying to figure out, because the usual places that I go for information on football games, they don't necessarily have what I'm looking for when it comes to FCS-level games. So I'm flying blind here.
I hate to say this, but SIU at home?
Well,
I'm
I know, I know who I'm going to pick to win the game. I just have to make the final score look somewhat believable. Speaking of believable final scores, I don't want to talk about my fantasy football teams at this point, but if you still do, if you're not 0-3 in your quote-unquote big money league like I am, and you still feel like you've got a shot to make your team better, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be with us today at 6 o'clock. Imon Communications, the official sponsor of all things fantasy football here at KGYM. Tristan is with us at 6:05 tonight, and the 6 o'clock showdown comes your way at 6:35 tonight. Passes to the Marcus Theaters, good for any of their locations in Cedar Rapids, Iowa City, or Coralville. That'll be the prize on the line tonight. Would you, and I give credit to the Russillo Show and Ryan Russillo, they were talking about this, and it was my inspiration as I was making my way back to the station after running an errand today. More on that later, because I'm suffering through something that no man or woman should suffer through. Ryan Russillo talking about Louisville and repercussions that could be coming from this FBI investigation and Rick Pitino being out of a job. By the way, Tom Crean, the former Indiana head coach, is a guy whose name continues to churn as somebody that Louisville should reach out to. They have an extremely talented roster. It's a ready-made situation, and if you're looking for an interim coach, a guy to run the program for 1 year, maybe longer, you could do a lot worse than Tom Crean. Russillo was talking about Louisville's got this NCAA championship, and if they were to get something along the lines of the death penalty, which I've been on record as saying I don't think we'll ever see a team get the death penalty again after what SMU went through in the late 80s. I don't think the NCAA has it in them to do that to anybody, especially a name brand program like Louisville, but they can tiptoe up to the line. They can really hammer them if they want to. And Russillo made the point, look, USC football, they were down for a while, now they're back. Penn State football, and that was a farce. Penn State people will say it was a farce because the NCAA didn't have any jurisdiction in that situation. A lot of other people will look and say, well, it was a farce because the penalties didn't last all that long. They walked them back so quickly that 3 years down the road, 4 years down the road, it was like nothing happened in Happy Valley. But talking about Louisville in the national championship, he floated the idea of Louisville could possibly be playing second fiddle to Kentucky for the next decade. That this program, if sanctions are handed down, could be in such bad shape, you wouldn't even, if you were a fan, want to go to Louisville, Kentucky basketball games. And they were talking about what you would do as a fan. Would you trade winning a national championship for basically a decade or more of not even showing up on the national scene? And I asked a couple people in the building today, and I didn't get a response from them immediately, which told me that that was kind of an interesting question to put forth. And so that's our Emil's Hideaway poll question today at KGYMradio.com. Would you trade winning a national championship for a decade or more of being, I'll say irrelevant, the butt of jokes nationally, but nobody's taken those 35 wins away from you. Nobody's taken the memory of hearing one shining moment and watching your team cut down the net away from you. It happened. You can vacate the records. You can wipe them from the books. But you as a fan would know that your team won the national championship. Would you trade that for 10 years of just walking through the desert? Nothingness.
And this is going to be a poll question where you're going to have to be very, very honest with yourself, because you look back at history and even recent history, the answer by a lot of athletic directors is a resounding yes. And it's been proven by some of these recent Kentucky. And this is one of the most storied college basketball programs. It was just one of the most storied college basketball programs. They went out and they hired John Calipari, who has been in trouble everywhere he's gone. But it didn't matter to them because they know that he's going to win national championships, and I don't think it really mattered whether they're going to be vacated or not. And there's been news coming out recently about Nike, the shoe company, having some of their records subpoenaed, so I won't speculate on that until we have any facts. But whenever John Calipari is the coach, you wonder if everything is above board. Most of the time, it's not. You look at SMU, not just their football program in the 80s, but who did they just recently hire and fire? Larry Brown. They hired him knowing that he would turn around the basketball program, and they knew that he has been in trouble wherever he's gone. Jerry Tarkanian. He was hired by Fresno State late in his career. They knew the baggage there. They decided to hire him. So it's been proven time and time again that athletic directors don't care. They want to win. And if, especially at some of these smaller programs, they're not going to even think twice about hiring these guys. But even at one of the best college basketball programs in the country, John Calipari was hired without hesitation.
Interesting responses coming in the text line. 7892 says it depends on the average number of wins per year during that 10-year span. No. We're not playing that. You win a national title, and you're irrelevant for the next decade. I'm talking you are Rutgers-level inept.
I mean, you're Indiana after Kelvin Sampson.
There you go.
Except you won a national championship.
Which, speaking of Indiana, Dan Dockich was on with Russillo today. And I know a lot of people around here don't like Dockich. I think he's really good at what he does. I think sometimes he pushes the envelope on purpose, which is something that I try not to do. If I come off as an idiot, I'm being an idiot because I'm an idiot. But Dockich, I think, is sometimes smarter than he lets on and trolls people on purpose to get a reaction, which in this business, I guess you could say it's a good business model. He was on Russillo today talking about being on Kelvin Sampson's staff at Indiana and watching Kelvin Sampson try to hire a guy who fit the mold of these assistant coaches that have since been arrested. And Indiana and the Board of Trustees had to step in and say, you cannot hire somebody like this, and who had a track record, was a known cheater. And so Dockich said, okay, he didn't hire him. So he went out and got two other guys who essentially did the same thing, but they didn't have the black eye of being caught. We talked yesterday on the program. I think it's only a matter of time before Bruce Pearl is let go or, I'm sorry, placed on administrative leave at Auburn.
You mean out?
Out, as they said on the Lebatard show today. Again, I like Bruce Pearl as a person, and there were a lot of Hawkeye fans when the job came open. The last two times that the job came open, people were saying, Bruce Pearl, Bruce Pearl, Bruce Pearl. Nobody would have turned the Iowa basketball program around quicker than Bruce Pearl. And I think it's safe to say nobody would have gotten the Iowa basketball program in trouble quicker than Bruce Pearl. It just, everywhere he's gone, for the most part, as far as high-profile gigs go, he's gotten in trouble, and a leopard cannot change its spots. Or a very sweaty man cannot suddenly become unsweaty. That's the best I can do working with Bruce Pearl. But again, I like him, and you meet him and you talk to him. And I mentioned this yesterday on the program, podcast available if you missed it on our website. He's a great guy. He's a salesman. His enthusiasm is off the charts. The guy has a ton of energy. He loves basketball. He loves coaching basketball. It's his passion in life. And sometimes people get so wrapped up in that they'll do anything and they start cutting corners. And then it's just a matter of, and I hope I don't get caught. And I, you know, you watch some of these TV shows, the true crime shows like Dateline, and you see these people that commit murder and they don't get caught for 5-10 years down the road. It's a cold case, and then the case file gets reopened and eventually, and I'm thinking, I'm putting myself in the shoes of that person. What would it be like every single day to be looking over your shoulder wondering if this is the day that the shoe drops? Like every time a cop car drives by, you're looking in the rearview mirror thinking they're going to whip a U-turn and put the cherries on. What would it be like to be a coach in this situation, wondering, okay, is this the day where I get a phone call from the NCAA or even worse, from the FBI? And then it dawned on me, guys like Patino and coaches of his ilk, they don't even worry about it. That's how little they care. You think Rick Patino has operated as if he is untouchable. And you know what? I think I would feel that way if I got away with some of the things that he has over the course of his career, including the scandal last year where players and underage recruits were being provided with prostitutes. If I've still got a job after that, I am untouchable. And all of a sudden, maybe I'm emboldened to do some other things that I'd be hesitant to do, because if I didn't lose my job over that, well, I ain't losing my job at all until the FBI comes. Now, did you see the T-shirt? I retweeted it. Somebody had a mock-up of an NCAA-style bracket with Louisville and the FBI, and the FBI was advancing to the next round. People work fast. It wasn't a ray gun shirt either. Those guys work really fast.
Rick Pitino has had two different scandals, including a personal scandal, and then a apparently a rogue assistant coach supplying women to underage recruits. And while
that's I love that word, by the way, rogue.
Rogue. And while
going rogue,
while that program, Louisville, was under sanctions, NCAA sanctions, one of his other assistants was caught on tape basically telling managers and financial advisors to be careful with the money and how it's handed out to a particular player, which we now know as Brian Bowen, because, quote, Louisville is under NCAA sanctions right now. We are on probation.
Ooh, Ryan from Walford on the text line.
They don't care. And that's the amazing thing, because I remember when I was in grade school or middle school and I would do something stupid, like, I don't know, skip a class. And I would be thinking that every time that hall monitor came with a note to the teacher that, oh, that was for me, I'm going down. Or every time I heard
That's hardcore, Alex. Realize that, right?
Every time I heard the phone ring in the class I was in, I'm going to the principal's office. I can't imagine what it would be like as an assistant coach to know that I'm the one carrying this out for the program, and the head coach, no matter how bad this gets, will probably not go under. But if this thing blows up, I'm the one that's going to get thrown under the bus. And he has shown no hesitation to throw his assistants under the bus, including a pathetic statement that he released via his lawyer yesterday. But I think the interesting story is Tom Urich. He was the former athletic director at Louisville, who also is on administrative leave. Because after this last scandal that we've brought up, not the recruiting scandal, but the prostitute scandal, he was basically told by the higher-ups at Louisville, you need to let him go. You need to fire Rick Pitino. And he said, if he goes, then I go. And so they worked something out, and Pitino was still the coach. And then this happens, and they said, you need to fire Rick Pitino. And he still wouldn't do it. So he got fired. He also got placed on administrative leave. That guy is a bucking Bronco. He was in it for... What does Rick Pitino have on him? That's what I want to know. How difficult... Why is he so much on Rick Pitino's side? That's just what I wonder.
The text line is all over the place today, and that's what you would expect. But Ryan from Walford, when the poll question asking if you'd change, if you would trade winning a national championship for a decade or more of irrelevance, Ryan in Walford says, ask Nebraska fans. Well, they didn't make that choice. It just happened naturally. But that's sort of, you'd be hard-pressed to convince them that. I'm not talking about, because Nebraska's been okay in football some of those years. I'm talking, you win the national championship, and the next 10 years, people are talking about you bumping down a level and going, what was it, Idaho, right, who left the FBS
yes.
ranks and is going back to FCS?
Coached by? Paul Petrino, I believe.
Oh, Bobby's brother.
Bobby's brother.
Well, it's a small world. The funniest tweet I saw earlier today was the most stable thing about the Louisville athletic department right now is the fact that Bobby Petrino is the head football coach there.
Well, thank you.
Tells you everything you need to know.
For branding my Twitter or branding my tweets there. I appreciate that.
Did you tweet that?
The tweet Somebody 4 hours did. Ago, when Bobby Petrino is the most above board major figure in your athletic department, it's time for a culture change.
Oh, I saw somebody else. Well, now I'm going to give Alex the credit.
Alex so somebody said else it. Said it instead of me.
Alex said it.
I thought that was original. Yeah.
Patino's going to get a job, so he's going to go
you
back to
so?
The he's going to go back to the NBA. He's going to be somebody's senior basketball advisor. Probably the Knicks. He's worked for them, what, two or three times? Or the Nets? Patino will work again in basketball, but I don't see him working again in college basketball.
And apparently, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, there's no interest for him as a head coach in the NBA. He's actually felt out the waters over the past couple of years, and there's been no interest. I wonder why he was kind of reaching out and inquiring about another job.
If Kelvin Sampson can get a job in the NBA as an assistant or a special advisor, somebody's going to hire Patino. And here's the thing about it, is a great basketball coach. Great college basketball coach. And he was good when he first came to the NBA with the Knicks in the 80s, and he wasn't there very long, but he helped turn the Knicks around. Of course, so did Patrick Ewing. And then he got to the Celtics, and they were just an absolute mess by the time that he left Boston. But somebody is going to hire him and give him a front office job. And because in the NBA, they don't care.
Nobody None of this matters.
At the professional level, it doesn't matter. It matters. Can you help them win? And so he's going to get a job. 319-366-1600. Let's go to the phone lines. Kyle. What's up, Kyle?
Hey, guys. Just wanted to kind of weigh in a couple different points. The first one, I just kind of wonder what the blowback would be on Richard Pitino at Minnesota. I mean, obviously, I'm not saying that he's dirty or anything, but I just think that would be just an extremely awkward position that his father's put him in. And, you know, I know that 2 years ago he was on the hot seat, and then last year they had a great year. So, he's kind of been up and down there. So, and I just kind of wondered what you guys thought on that. And the second thing, I'm kind of a little bit of a nerd when it comes to, like, sports gear, but, like, I'm the guy that notices what brand bat every major leaguer's swinging and you know, what college basketball, who's sponsored by Nike, who's sponsored by... And the thing that's kind of got me perplexed, I'm pretty sure Arizona is a Nike team, and I believe all these teams that are under fire thus far are Adidas teams, so I'm just kind of wondering how Arizona got on that list. So that's all I got, guys. Keep up the good work.
Arizona was put on that list because one of their coaches was caught on tape talking about paying a particular player, and people have used Google search and found out that that player was Javon Quinterly, who committed to Arizona this past August, and now he has been at least temporarily suspended, and I'm guessing he will not play for the University of Arizona, as has Brian Bowen at Louisville, who also, it was caught on tape, a scheme to basically get $100,000 into the pocket of his families by two or three different outlets.
These schools are taking these players out of team activities because they are worried that if they play them, this will open the door 2, 3, 5 years, whoever, who knows how many years down the road, when the NCAA comes back and says, you've got to vacate victories because this guy played and he should have been ineligible. So the schools are trying to get out in front of this. And again, a lot of people with egg on their face. And now today, you've got Nike being mentioned in this. Sounds like Under Armour so far is in the clear, and I think it's safe to say that if you're working for LA Gear, you're probably not losing any sleep today.
Big baller brand?
Big baller brand. You know what?
Just wondering. Just saying.
LeVar was wise to keep his kids. He's trying to make his own money. Not trying to get it from any of these shoe companies other than through endorsement deals. Step aside. We'll take a quick break. We come back. Kyle's going to have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, on the way as well. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show after this.
Here at Toyota of Iowa City, we're winding down the 2017 model year. Because of the fantastic deals we're making on the remaining 2017 models, they'll be gone before you know it. Don't wait until it's too late. In addition to the great deal Toyota of Iowa City has for you, there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on all new 2017 RAV4s, plus a $1,000 cash bonus on all gas models, or an optional $3,000 cash on all hybrid models. Come on in and take advantage of these savings and maybe get yourself an all-wheel drive so you can be well prepared for winter. Choose the Toyota you want, because there's 0% financing available for up to 72 months on most of our remaining 2017 models. It's the perfect time. Come see us at Toyota of Iowa City and let's make it easy for you to drive home in the new Toyota of your choice.
Through October 2nd, 0% financing for 72 months with qualifying credit through Toyota Financial Services. $1,339 per $1,000 borrowed. Does not include $130 dealer documentation fee.
In 1940s America, it was common for several generations to reside under the same roof. Grandparents, parents, and children all sharing traditions and learning from each other. There was a simple beauty to this kind of living. And while it isn't common anymore, at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers, three generations still share one roof. The Dickens family history at Hertin & Stocker began when Willa was a simple watchmaker. He went on to own the business and raised his sons Terry and Tim alongside him in the store. Now Terry's daughter Kate has joined the family at Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. She brings her contemporary sensibility and fresh ideas to the jewelry cases while carrying on the heritage of service and understanding she grew up with. Kate is the most recent chapter in the ongoing story of Hertin & Stocker Jewelers. Come see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in Iowa City. And wish a happy 70th anniversary to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
Welcome back in. Rick Pitino has released another statement. We'll have that for you coming up in the next 30 minutes or so. But now Kyle has, he's not releasing a statement. He's releasing his first of six Midwest One Bank Big Board updates today. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The list of participants for Big Ten Basketball Media Day was released today, and Iowa's going to be bringing reigning Sixth Man of the Year junior Nick Bear, sophomores Jordan Bohannon and Tyler Cook, and senior Dom Uhl. Iowa is one of only two teams to be taking four players, and those festivities will happen on October 19th at Madison Square Garden in New York City. Matt Campbell and Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from Dallas Taylor Cortez, a 6'3" defensive back from West Hills, California. 24/7 Sports has him rated as a three-star recruit, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Arizona, Utah, and Washington State, among others. The Gazette published the Area Super 10 Volleyball Rankings today. Cedar Rapids' Jefferson still sits at the top, followed by Xavier 2nd, Linmar 3rd, Centerpoint Urbana 4th, Mount Vernon 7th, Marion 9th, and Iowa City West 10th. The Cubs' magic number is just one, so they have a chance to clinch the division tonight on the road in St. Louis. And the Minnesota Twins beat the Cleveland Indians last night 8-6, dropping their magic number in the AL wildcard race to just one and putting themselves in a position to clinch a playoff berth with another win tonight. They'll have Adalberto Mejia on the mound going against Danny Salazar in Cleveland. That's going to start shortly after 6, and we'll join it in progress after the show on 107.5 FM The North, Jim.
You're going to be heartbroken when baseball season is over and you can no longer say Adalberto Mejia's name, aren't you?
It's a beautiful name.
Here's Pitino's second statement released through his attorney. I don't believe he is quoted directly in this, so this is the attorney and his language. But the third paragraph, moving forward, Coach Pitino's primary concern is for the well-being of the student-athletes on the university's basketball team and in getting complete and accurate facts in the ongoing investigation. Those facts will inevitably exonerate him. Rick Pitino. There's no way Rick Pitino believes that.
No, there's not. They've got you, Rick.
He stands by his previous statement that he was completely shocked, completely blown away by what was going on at his program. Well, not by the hooker scandal last year. No, he's just talking specifically about what the FBI did yesterday.
There's two options here. Either he knew about it and he's complicit, or he didn't know about it and he's so ignorant that he shouldn't be running a college basketball program or should not be around college basketball. Either one, it's bad, and I think I know which one I believe.
Mike on the text line says Louisville won't be down long in men's basketball, less than 5 years. You have no idea what type of penalties this program could get hammered with. because the NCAA isn't going to look at this, in my opinion, case by case. They're going to look and say, they had the Hooker scandal. Now this is lack of institutional control. And when you throw that term around, I don't care how strong your program was. It's going to take a lot longer than 5 years to come back from that. So we'll see. But this is the same NCAA that until yesterday had no idea that the FBI was working on a case that was going to possibly blow up college basketball. 435, I don't know. You know what? I'm going to go rogue for the next 15, 20 minutes here. How about that? I like that word so much, I'm going rogue. Gary Rima, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joins us next on the program.
Good sportsmanship matters during the game and in life. So Fairfax State Savings Bank and the gym are proud to shine the spotlight on KGYM's community MVP.
Recognizing good sports around here and letting you know how to get in the game too.
Don't miss the Sweetgrass Flute Nature Festival, September 29th through October 1st at Prairie Woods in Hiawatha. There'll be lots to see and do, including musical performances, shopping, workshops, and more. There's no event like it, plus it's free and everyone is welcome.
Details at KGYMradio.com. Click on Community MVP.
Check, check, and check. Whole to-do list done. And it's game time.
I only gave you that list an hour ago.
Right.
You fixed the dishwasher, washed the dog, and got us a mortgage in less than an hour?
Yep. Dishwasher was simple, Bruno was no trouble, and I got us an online mortgage at Fairfax State Savings Bank, where we were approved in like 20 minutes.
You demand, babe. Let's watch that game. High five.
Fairfax State Savings Bank. Visit thebankhere.com for a mortgage or refinance today. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
What a horrible day for college basketball. It's the beginning of the end for college hoops. Those are just some of the headlines I caught yesterday when news broke of 10 people being arrested, four of them top-level assistant coaches, over claims of fraud, bribery, and conspiracy. Relationships between shoe companies, agents, and big-time programs and their coaches have been placed under monstrous microscopes. Awful, just brutal, so many have said. And I said it too, until it occurred to me, maybe this is a great day for college hoops. Hey, anybody who knows anything about college basketball knows there's a huge web of wheelings and dealings that often determines where a player goes to college. All the details we generally never know, but what became public knowledge yesterday is no surprise. What if this starts to clean the sport up? What if the game's worst cheaters lose their jobs? What if athletic and compliance departments keep a much closer eye on the recruiting process itself now? Might we then have a sport we can feel good about without wondering if our team is one blabbermouth away from punishment? Just think about that for the next minute. Then I'll tell you why the NBA must step in.
Guys, get to JCPenney today for Levi's lowest prices of the season, like 502 regular taper fit and 514 straight fit for $36.99 each. And check out what's new in our new big and tall shop inside the men's store at JCPenney. Get all your work to weekend apparel in extended sizes, up to 5XL and 54 waist in store and 60 waist at JCP.com. Hurry, sale ends soon. That's getting your pennies worth. JCPenney. Offers represent savings on regular or original prices. While supplies last. Some exclusions apply. Season refers to the time period from 9/14 to 10/9. See store at JCP.com for details.
Hi, I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans. Think you can't manage the down payment it takes to purchase a new home? Think again. You could move into a $150,000 home with as little as $1,500 down with our 1% down payment option. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.125%, APR 4.52%. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to quickenloans.com.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
College basketball will never, ever be the same. Not after yesterday. Coaches and athletic directors will be fired. It's already happened at Louisville. Superstars will be ruled ineligible. Power programs left hoping against hope that their indiscretions remain undiscovered. But why? Why cheat? That's easy to answer. Because if you don't, they will. You want the kid, you do what it takes. It's saddening, maddening, and in no way limited only to hoops. But hoops is in the news for it now. These kids want to make money. Their families are pressuring them now. Yet the NBA tells them they have to be out of high school for a year before they can play in their league. Today, more than ever, that's a problem. Get rid of that ridiculous rule. Let the kids who can make that money make it the right way, and in turn, help clean up college basketball, even just a little. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
Welcome back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City, 107.5 FM, the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, and all across Eastern Iowa in 1600 AM, the historic main gym. Our next guest joins us after a bye week. The UNI Panthers had the week off after their 24-21 loss at Southern Utah and 2 weeks to prepare for their Missouri Valley Football Conference season opener against the SIU Salukis on Saturday. That will take place at 6 p.m. You can hear that game on 1600 a.m. And our next guest will be calling all the actions. Gary, I first want to start with, how did you spend your bye week?
Well, actually, I went from Southern Utah to Las Vegas. I spent 4 days in Las Vegas and did my sports talk show from there Monday through Wednesday and got back on Thursday. Just got a few days away, a little work vacation, if you will, and getting back after it this week. Is now it's pretty busy for me as far as you and I broadcast right up until the end of basketball in what we hope is late March. So it was fun just to get away for a few days, Alex.
Yeah, we hope it's a late March. We also hope that it's a late fall season for this football team. And now starting Missouri Valley Football Conference play, it's a very, very much a simple question for this team, but it might be complicated when you break it down. What does this team need to do during conference play to earn a playoff berth?
Well, first, I think we got to establish a running game. Our running game just hasn't been there. We're only averaging 65 yards rushing per game, and that's just not going to get it done. You know, I think the basic answer is you got to find a way to win games. But when you get in depth at this team sitting 1-2 to beat teams in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, we're going to have to find a way to move the football on the ground. Our passing game is fine, 290 yards passing per game. We can beat a lot of teams if we can add a running game to that. But if you're unable to grind out some first downs, put together some time-consuming drives that including pounding it on the ground and having a good running attack, then it's going to be really hard to win in this league. So I think that's one of the things they really worked on during the bye week, Alex, try and get the running attack back on track. And, you know, Trevor Allen's averaging over 6 yards per carry, but he's only carried the football 25 times. He's been banged up a little bit. So I think the bye week helped some guys get healthy. I didn't realize it until Coach Farley talked more about it on Monday of this week in preparation for Southern Illinois. But leading up to the Southern Utah game just over a week ago, none of the running backs were healthy at practice that week to work out. Both tight ends were injured. We had a couple of wide receivers that were hurt. So I think a big thing for this team is just get guys healthy, be able to practice, and be prepared for what I think is a pretty good Southern Illinois team we got to take on Saturday night in Carbondale.
Because of all the injuries, did this bye week come at a pretty good time?
Perfect time. In fact, when the schedule came out, Alex, I thought I love how the schedule lays out, because you get those three non-conference games in, you find out a lot about yourself, you kind of figure out what you need to fix or correct or what you're good at, and then you get 2 weeks to prepare for eight straight Missouri Valley Football Conference games. And as tough as the league is this year with all the rated teams you're going to have to play, all the quality opponents right in a row, having that 2 weeks to prepare for your conference opener, make a few changes, make a couple adjustments, let guys heal up from those three non-conference games. Now I think you got a chance to be healthy to go and make a run in league play. But when you look at that conference schedule coming off the bye week, I think Southern Illinois is a quality team, and then it's five straight rated teams right in a row for you and I when they host Western Illinois, go to South Dakota State, host Youngstown State, go to North Dakota State, host South Dakota. All those teams are in the top 25 in the nation. So having a couple of weeks to get ready for this grind, I think it just came at an absolute perfect time.
You talk about adjustments, you talk about mixing things up. Mark Farley, you mentioned, is 14-4 in his career coming off bye weeks, and he's not somebody that likes to stand pat if something's not working. Do you expect that we could see some different wrinkles and adjustments made against Southern Illinois and then now heading into conference play?
I know they've got a few things that are what people would call wrinkles that they haven't showed so far. Some of it, I think, is things they wanted to do with Marcus Weinmiller as early as game number two during the regular season, but he got hurt on the second kickoff of the game against Cal Poly, and they couldn't unveil some of the things they wanted to do with Marcus. But I do know there are some things offensively that they've worked on over the last week or two, things they had in prior to the bye week that they wanted to use, and just because of injuries or the way things worked out, they didn't unveil them. I think we'll see some different things come Saturday night in Carbondale, because you got to find a way to get out to a 1-0 start in the Missouri Valley Football Conference. Even though it's a tough road game, you got to find a way to go on the road and win, because as good as Southern Illinois is, it gets a lot tougher as you get deeper into that schedule. So you don't want to start 0-1. You got to pull out all the tricks, all the stops, everything you got in your bag to try and find a way to get a conference opening win. And I think we're going to see that out of you and I come Saturday night.
And we'll talk about Southern Illinois in just a second. And you talk about that tough stretch, Southern Illinois, Western Illinois, and South Dakota State. Those aren't any pushovers. Then the 3 weeks following that, Youngstown State, North Dakota State, and South Dakota. Where does this team need to kind of be sitting after these next 3 weeks heading into that Youngstown State game to have a chance to have a stretch run where they could push for a playoff berth?
Well, I think you got to be 2-1. I think you want to be 3-3 overall, 2-1 in the league, if you want to have any hopes at all of finishing in the upper half of the Missouri Valley Football Conference and being a playoff team. I know you could go and lose a couple of those games early, and then maybe you get hot and you win 5 or 6 in a row. But to be realistic, if you can't go win at Southern Illinois or you lose at home to Western Illinois, to say that you're going to go to South Dakota State or North Dakota State and get victories, I mean, anything's possible. But realistically, it doesn't sound like it's something you're going to be able to accomplish if you can't beat the Salukis and teams like that. So if somehow the Panthers can get through this grind of these first 6 conference games and be sitting with, even if they're sitting 3-3 after their first 6, I think you can get your final 2 at Missouri State, at Indiana State. And if this Panther team goes 5-3 in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, they're going to be probably top 4 finish in the league. That should be good enough to get them into postseason football. If they get to 6-2, they're a lead pipe lock to be a playoff team. But I just really think you got to find a way to get out of the gate with a road win right away, come home for homecoming, try and take care of a real good Western Illinois team. And then if you're going to South Dakota State 2-0, you just take your chances on what you think you can do against the number 4 ranked team in the nation. But man, if you start 0-1 or 1-1 in the league, and then you look at what's after Southern Illinois and Western Illinois, Alex, it's a really tough grind. I mean, it's going to be really, really tough for this team to get the number of wins that we all want them to have to be a postseason playoff team.
So let's talk about the Salukis for just a second. Led by Nick Hill, a former player who was the quarterback there, I believe, when they went to the semifinals in 2005. They're led by an Iowa native at quarterback. What have you made of the Salukis so far after a pretty impressive effort against the Memphis Tigers last Saturday?
Yeah, very good. I think very good offensively. A team that can really move the football through the air, averaging about just over 400 yards of offense per game. A lot of that in the passing game, 244 yards per game passing. Sam Straub, a very good quarterback, big kid, 6'4", 240, completes about 57% of his passes. He's only thrown a couple of interceptions, 10 touchdowns. And they got a couple of capable running backs, but I think it just complements their passing game. Daquan Isom is a junior running back that he can really hurt you, but I do think they try and get it done more through the air than they do on the ground. They're very young defensively. They on their two deep, they only have 4 seniors on their two deep defensively, and only two of those guys start. They start a lot of redshirt freshmen, sophomores, juniors on their defensive side of the football. They're giving up about 350 yards per game to their opponent. The one thing that jumped out at me also, Alex, is offensively, Southern Illinois has only allowed their quarterback to be sacked one time. And that's been a problem for you and I. You and I's got just three sacks in three games. And they use kind of that short, quick strike passing game, hard to get to the quarterback. And it's something I know defensively you and I's talked about. They got to do better, and that's get pressure on the quarterback, get quarterback hurries, get sacks. And the defense will be more effective. But Southern Illinois has only allowed one sack in their first three games. Now, I don't think their first two opponents were the toughest of opponents in Mississippi Valley State. But I do think they played well against Memphis, and that was a tough FBS opponent. So to only give up one sack in their first three games, that's pretty impressive. And the Panthers are going to have to do better than that if they want to go on the road and win that game.
You lead me right to my next question. If you and I wants to go on the road and win against Southern Illinois, what needs to happen?
Well, that's part of it right there. They got to get pressure on quarterback Straub. I mean, they can't let him pick the defense apart, because that's their game plan, the short passing game, the quick strike passing game. It's why they're throwing for almost 250 yards per game and only been sacked one time. The other thing is that the Panthers have to find a running game, Alex. They're going to have to be able to run the football some. When you're on the road, you want to be able to consume that clock if you can and win that battle. Southern Illinois does a good job of controlling the football. They average having the football 3 minutes more than their opponent per game. The Panthers got to turn the table on them on that deal. And part of that is by being able to run the football. So it's going to be a good game. This is a really good battle. This is a place that's been hard for you and I to go and get victories. They have not won often in Carbondale. And with where this program is sitting right now, 1-2, and had 2 weeks to prepare, they need to find a way to go get a victory on Saturday.
Gary Ryman, the UNI play-by-play voice, joining the Todd Brommel Camp Show with Alex Kuhn, as he does every Wednesday. One more before we let you go, Gary. Darice Fountain, we knew that he was going to be a leader. He was named a captain coming into the season. But what makes him such an effective target, especially in the red zone?
Well, he's a guy that'll go get the football. And that's something that Coach Farley's been talking a lot about to his wide receivers of late, is that when you're the target and the ball's coming your way, there's going to be a defender in the vicinity. You got to make sure you go take the ball away from them. Don't let them get it. You got to want it. And that's been Darice Fountain's strong point this season. He's been in some battles where some defenders were trying to knock the ball away, trying to get interceptions, and he just wanted it more. That 50-50 ball that, you know, could be completed, could be picked off. Well, Darice is making sure that he comes up with a football. He's just tough. He's a kid that when it's thrown his way, he's going to find a way to go catch it, go get it, and get receptions and get scores for this Panther team. So I thought he could have a big senior year, and he's on track to do it. He just has to keep it going, because he's right now a big part of the offense and some of the things that are going right on the offensive side of the football.
6 p.m. Saturday night, Southern Illinois, you and I from Carbondale, Illinois. You can hear Gary Rima's call at 6 p.m. right here on 1600 a.m., the historic main gym. Gary, thanks so much for joining us today. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, great being on with you, Alex. Talk to you then.
That's Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers on KGYM. We'll step aside, take a quick break. Kyle will have a big board update on the way after this.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Yeah, that's what going rogue looks like here. Welcome back in. Good stuff from Gary Rima, as always. Rima in Vegas. A little Rima-tima on the strip. I don't know. I'm trying to think of my list of people that would be fun to go to Las Vegas with. I think Gary would probably be somewhere near the top. We've got a great show for you today. Tristan Cockcroft answering all your fantasy football questions coming up in the 6 o'clock hour. 6 o'clock showdown on the way as well. Right now, here's Kyle with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update.
The list of participants for Big Ten Basketball Media Day was released today, and Iowa's going to be bringing reigning Sixth Man of the Year junior Nick Bear, sophomores Jordan Bohannon and Tyler Cook, and senior Dom Uhl. Iowa is one of only two teams to be taking four players, and those festivities will happen on October 19th at Madison Square Garden. Matt Campbell and Iowa State football got a commitment yesterday from Dallas Taylor Cortez, a 6'3" defensive back from West Hills, California. 24/7 Sports has him rated as a three-star recruit, and he chose the Cyclones over offers from Arizona, Utah, and Washington State, among others. The Gazette published the Area Super 10 volleyball rankings today. Cedar Rapids Jefferson still sits at the top, followed by Xavier second, Linmar third, Centerpoint Urbana fourth, Mount Vernon seventh, Marion ninth, and Iowa City West 10th. The Cubs' magic number is down to just one, so they have a chance to clinch the division tonight on the road in St. Louis. They were unable to do it last night. And the Minnesota Twins beat the Cleveland Indians last night 8-6, dropping their magic number in the AL wildcard race to just one also. They put themselves in a position to clinch a playoff berth with another win tonight. They'll have Adalberto Mejia on the mound going against Danny Salazar in Cleveland. That's going to start shortly after 6, and we'll join it in progress after the show on 107.5 FM, The North Gym.
Yeah, you know, I said a couple minutes ago that I went through something no man wants to go through last night, and I'll tell you about that when we come back to kick off hour number two. It is one of my worst nightmares, and it came true for me last night. Now, speaking of things no man wants to go through, we have run down the list. Maybe you've heard me talk about things like low energy, lack of mental sharpness, putting on a few extra pounds on the waistline. Those are things that maybe you should look at finding an answer for. And the folks at Mantality may be able to help you. The best part is it's covered by insurance, and their physicians are all board certified. This is a men's health clinic. So you go, you know that you're going to get answers for things that maybe you don't necessarily want to talk about with somebody else. It's a man's health clinic. They have just opened a new location conveniently between Iowa City and Cedar Rapids. It's at 595 Ashley Court in North Liberty. You can give them a call at 319-774-7979. The website, lowtusa.com. You did hear me right. I said it was covered by insurance and their physicians are all board certified. Maybe you're moody. Maybe you're irritable. Maybe you are impatient. Your wife probably does not like dealing with you. Do you have anxiety, depression? All things that could possibly be traced back to low testosterone. LowTUSA.com and Mantality. More of the Todd Brolkamp Show continuing on the way after this. Hour number two kicks off, and I will finally reveal what happened to me last night that completely, completely ruined my Tuesday night.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand